Good morning, or good afternoon, should I say, officially. Still getting used to the two services, morning and afternoon. We're going to be thinking this morning a bit about why and how do we need to pray. And part of this has come from what Colin was saying about in terms of the AGM, is that many of you know God sort of put the brakes on my life for about a month where I was physically exhausted, but in that time, God was speaking to me about the direction of my own life, but also the direction of the church. And we can often see illness and hardship as a kind of thing we get out of the way. But actually, all of us experience different challenges. And I know John especially will testify to that at the moment in terms of being ill. But we all face these different challenges, but God speaks to us in the trials. And one of the key things that God was speaking to me about personally was about the need to pray and about my own pride, which I confessed to you a few weeks ago, and the need to pray because prayer shows that we're dependent on God. And if we're prayerless, then we're in trouble. And so as individuals, we need to pray, but as a church, we need to pray. And it's an absolute lifeblood to the believer. And so we're going to be thinking, not just for 1 week or 2 weeks on the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to be thinking for a term about prayer. And for some of us, it's like prayer. Yeah, I'm all over that. I know that. I mean, I haven't got a t-shirt, but I think I know a lot. Some of us were like, well, I'm not really sure about prayer. For some of us, we're like, yeah, I go in and out of season on that. I mean, sometimes I'm more prayerful when I haven't got a job or I'm ill or I'm looking to get into a relationship. But when things are going well, if we're honest, well, actually, do I really pray that much? And I think we're probably all the same in that way, aren't we? And so how do we develop good habits? How do we develop maturity in learning how to pray as individuals and pray as a church? How do we do that? Well, we're going to be looking at that over this series. And today we're going to be looking at why and how do we need to be still in prayer. And the first thing I want to talk to us about, and it's helpful I've got my glasses as a middle-aged man who now needs them. In the first service, I realized I didn't have them, and thankfully my wife Grace went home and got them for me. Otherwise, perspective would have been difficult. So we're looking at perspective and we're looking at Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at a few scriptures, just three key scriptures as we go through this. So Mark chapter 1, if you have a Bible, please turn to that, flick the pages. If you have a device, turn it on, turn your Bible on to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 35 to 39. Please don't be tempted to go on Instagram or what have you, or buy anything online during the sermon. So verse 35 of Mark 1, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, there's a couple of things to note initially in this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Jesus got up very early in the morning. Okay, so that would be really challenging, I know, for the teenagers on the whole. I've been a teenager, and prayer doesn't just have to be very early in the morning, but Jesus got up early in the morning because he's demonstrating something to the disciples and us. And that is that he was living to be in relationship with the Father. And the basis of the Christian faith is about relationship. It's about us knowing the love of the Father God through Jesus by the Spirit. It isn't about rules and regulations. It isn't about just doing things for the sake of it. It's about a relationship with the Father God through Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again in order that we might have that relationship. And Jesus, as part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, wants to be in relationship with the Father. And so he wants to spend time in prayer, seeking a kingdom perspective before he does anything else in the day. But we tend to live differently, because what we tend to do is we tend to live by chronos. We tend to live by time. Time, space, and history. We live by, you know, some of you are thinking, it's not 10:30, is it? Have we gone back in time? Is this Back to the Future? We tend to live by time. And this clock comes from the office upstairs, and for about the past 4 months, it's been stuck on 10:30. And it's deceived me in meetings thinking, oh, okay, we've got a bit more time. We can carry on and talk about that as staff, only realizing that the clock's still stuck on 10:30. But we want to sometimes slow time down. We want time to go still, or we might even want to kind of speed time up or go backwards. We feel that somehow we're in control of time, that somehow we need to be doing stuff. We've got places to go. We've got people to meet. We've got emails to respond to. We've got text messages to go and to kind of reply to, or maybe letters to reply to. Leslie's like, what are you on about? So he's giving me a thumbs up. That's okay. Or people to actually speak to face to face, or on a thing called a phone. I don't know if you've heard of that. But they're actually, we want to control time. But the disciples were no different in this passage. Look at what their response was to Jesus spending time with the Father. Because what we read is that they came down and said, everyone is looking for you. Jesus, everyone is looking for you. So they kind of had the right idea that people have been, just before this, people had been healed. It's spoken to people, preached to people. And they were kind of like going to Jesus, and if you like, going to this door and saying, there's a whole queue of people out there who need healing. You better kind of do something about this. I mean, what are you doing? Why are you being still and spending time praying when there's all these people to meet? There's all these needs to meet. And we can be like that kind of person too, can't we? There's all these things to sort out and all these needs and all these problems, all these things to do. And everyone is looking for you. But what did Jesus say? Did he say, well, you know, I'm just going to chill out here for another 5 years and be with the Father? No, he wanted to spend time with the Father, but it was to shape the perspective of his day. And it's the same for you and for me. Whether you work in a bank, whether you're a pastor, whether you're at school, whether you're at college, whether you're retired, we shape the day ahead of us by either us saying, I'm going to be in control of this one, or I'm going to be still, and I'm going to ask God to lead me by his Spirit. I want to have a kingdom perspective. Because Jesus did act after he spoke to them. Look what he says in verse 38. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to be the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. So when Jesus spent time praying, it shaped his perspective to say, well, I know you say there's 50 people out there that want healed, but actually I've been praying and I've been meeting with the Father, and I'm living in a different kind of paradigm here. I'm living in a way that actually I want to do what the Father wants me to do. And so I'm going to go now to these other villages and preach. And that is a healthy way of us looking at life, that when we pray and when we stop and when we're led by the Spirit, we're not governed by hitting targets, by giving validation in our work and saying, well, to be a human means to be, I need to do X, Y, and Z all the time. But actually, we need to be about the will of God made known through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a book that I've been reading on and off for about a year called Sensing Jesus, and it's by a guy called Zach Eswine. And he says in this regarding time, this is where I need to juggle with the glasses and with my cold, which I'm just getting over, so hopefully I won't be sounding like Kevin out of Kevin and Perry, my voice breaking like a teenager. So clock time teaches us to assert, get moving, make something happen. Jesus time calls us to listen, receive, pay attention, and learn of God. What we are seeking is already here. So let me read that again. Clock time, so the kind of life that we often live by, teaches us to assert, get moving, make something happen. But Jesus' time calls us to listen, receive, pay attention, and learn of God. What we are seeking is already here, because what we are ultimately seeking is God and his kingdom. And so we can look to him and trust in him, that we pay attention in prayer to what he is saying. So if we thought about why do we need to be still in prayer, then secondly, we need to think about why, in terms of perspective, where can we be still? So we need to think about the place. So why do we need to be still? Well, it gives us that perspective, that Jesus perspective on time. But then we need to think secondly about place. So where can we be still in prayer? Well, let's turn to Matthew 6. If you've got your Bible, Matthew 6, just flip back to Matthew 6. And we're going to read from verse 5 there. Matthew 6 and verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So it's helpful for us to think about finding a place. That I think the reason it's good for us to find a place on a regular time, forming good habits, is one reason for that is this, is that if we only pray when things go wrong in our life, we will not be growing in the discipline of that relationship of knowing the love of the Father. So if we only pray when we're ill, if we only pray when we lose a loved one, if we only pray when we're trying to find a job, that's a good thing on the one hand, because we're praying. But we need to pray when things are going well, because ultimately prayer is not just about asking for things, it's about getting to know God and his will. And so therefore, I think it's a good thing to find a place on a regular basis where we pray. We set up good habits, good disciplines. So it might be that, for instance, we just find a chair. I'm not saying this chair particularly, but as an example, you know, get up in the morning, instead of going straight onto Instagram or Facebook or putting on BBC News and getting depressed by that, we just find a chair and we sit in that chair and we get our good, brilliant cup of coffee, no nasty instant stuff, and we just sit with our coffee and we are still before God, read his word, meditate on his word, and we're still, that we acknowledge who we are before God, that we acknowledge that this is the place where we want him to come and meet with us. This is the place where we want to be still and acknowledge that we're not the one in control, but that he is the one in control. We find a place. It could be a chair. It could be a garden shed. It could be a bench at lunchtime in our workplace, or that place where we go to where we really want to meet with God. And I'll tell you, reveal to you the top secret where I go to be still. In the upstairs bathroom. I lock the door. It's the only place where I will not be bothered in the house. And since the Lord speaking to me quite clearly a few months ago, I literally get on my knees in that bathroom and close the door. And before I go out of the house, I have to do it. Because, not because it's a rule, but it's me humbling myself before I do anything else, saying, God, I want to know what you want for this day. God, I want to know you more. I want to see your kingdom come. I don't want to run ahead of you. And it can be a little bit weird sometimes, because I think my family think I'm in there for too long. But that's what I'm doing. And that's the only place that I can find space often in my house. You know, I don't know whether you have this like amazing image of pastors, like, you know, well, sitting in a summer house and cup of coffee and tea and, you know, read the Bible, now I'm reading the paper, and now I'm praying for 3 hours. in reality, coming out here on a Sunday morning, I have kids as well, and stuff's going on, and shoes and trainers need to be found. And so I'm in my place, which is the bathroom, where I've locked the door, because I want to be with God, I want to hear from God, I want to surrender to God before I do anything else. And many of us are in different stages of life. So if you're a teenager, it's like you're in a certain stage of life where having that secret place can be a really healthy thing for you, where you're encouraged to broadcast your whole life. So don't be tempted to kind of go on Instagram live stream and say, hey everyone, I'm having my time with God here. I'm giving God the big five. You know, I'm kind of live streaming my holy time here for 10 minutes. It's like, it's a healthy thing to detox from the Instagram, from the Snapchat, and just say, I'm going to find a place where I can hear God. I'm going to still myself. I'm going to be still before him. I want to know him more. I want to surrender this day to him as I go to school, as I go to college. For some of us, we may be at a stage of life where we're kids. We've got one kid, two kids, three kids, five kids. Anyone got 10 kids? No. That stage of life that is so sometimes chaotic. And Susanna Wesley, Charles and John Wesley's mother, the hymn writers and great preachers of an age, had 15 kids. Imagine that one. 15 kids in the house. And so she talks about how the way that she found a place and the way that she could be still with 15 kids, as you can imagine, is, I hope you love this lovely apron here, is that she would get an apron and that she would put the apron over her head. And as the kids were going crazy in the kitchen and potatoes are flying around and all kinds of stuff, she would literally get the apron, put it over her head, and find stillness and pray. Now, I don't think it was, what is it, an Emma Bridgewater apron, but it was some kind of apron that she put over her head. And it kind of shows you, doesn't it, that here was a woman, such a godly woman, who made a massive influence on Christian history because of Charles and John Wesley. But she struggled to find that place. She struggled to find that space. But she was wise and just said, well, okay, it's crazy. There's 15 kids. It's all kicking off. I'm getting the apron. I'm putting it over my head. And I'm saying, okay, God, come fill me with your spirit. I'm struggling here right now. And maybe that's more of a picture of more of our lives than sitting in the garden shed, as it were. Turn back to Psalm 46 and verse 10, a familiar passage to us, Psalm 46 and verse 10. And it says, and we've already sung about this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. And so what we're required to do when we want to be still, we want to find a place, is that we're acknowledging who God is. We're saying, well, you know, sometimes I stupidly act like I'm in control of this whole thing. Sometimes I think I know what's really going on in life and the world. But the reality is that when I hit the buffers, when I lose a loved one, when I get sick, when I'm not sure about my job, I'm humbled to a position where I realize that I need to be still and know that he is God, because he is in control, that he is good, that he is loving, that he is kind. And so we need to be still in order to orientate ourselves on really who God is that we find that place in order to do that in the hubbub of life, that we need to be still. Not just being still and thinking nothing, being still, meditating on who he is and knowing him and growing in him. And it may be today that the Lord is speaking to us because we've never really prayed much in our life at all. We've never really understood who God is, that prayer is just something on a list that people do. And we can know who God is through Jesus' death and resurrection, that we can approach the Father and he accepts us and forgives us. But maybe today we're here and we might say that we are a Christian and that we do pray, but if we're honest, we're just kind of doing our own thing. And doing our own thing, we know is not working for us. We're restless, We can't stop checking emails. We can't stop arranging meetings. We can't stop watching stuff on TV. We can't sit for a moment because we know that in the heart of hearts, we're restless people. And that we've maybe gotten out of a habit of praying, out of a habit of being still, out of a good habit of receiving from God and knowing his goodness. Or maybe we're here and we are praying, but we just need that gentle reminder of how good it is to pray, how good it is to depend upon God daily, to get a kingdom perspective. What I want to do just for 2 minutes is, maybe you've got a pen and paper with you or a phone, or maybe you just want to be still and close your eyes. What is God saying to you about prayer today? What is he saying about the perspective that you have on your life? What is he saying to you about that place? Do you have a place where you go to meet him? Let's just be still for a couple of minutes and dare to ask God to show that to you. And maybe if it's helpful, write that down too. In a book by Paul Miller called A Praying Life, regarding us growing in prayer in our relationship with God, he says, any relationship, if it's going to grow, needs private space, time together without an agenda, where you can get to know each other. This creates an environment where closeness can happen, where we can begin to understand each other's hearts. You don't create intimacy, you make room for it. This is true whether you are talking about your spouse, your friend, or God. You need space to be together. Efficiency, multitasking, and busyness all kill intimacy. In short, you can't get to know God on the fly. If Jesus has to pull away from people and noise in order to pray, then it makes sense that we need to as well. And so having the right perspective and place is about creating space where we can grow in our personal relationship with God. You don't just say, well, now we're going to grow closer together in a relationship. If you have a father and a mother and a child, you don't simply grow in that relationship by just kind of always doing stuff and that's it. But actually, there can be moments where a father and a mother and a child just sit and say nothing, where there can be an awareness of the presence of the love of the mother and the father for the child and the other way around. But equally, you know, to create space where you go out for a coffee with your friend or you go out for a lunch with your spouse is that you're creating that space in order that conversation happens. You're creating that space in order that relationship develops. And that is the significant difference about prayer, is that we are making space for God in order that we hear from him and be in his presence and grow, not just the thing that we do. And lastly, the third point is that what happens when we are still before God in prayer? And I want us to think about posture and position. Okay, so the last scripture that I want us to turn to is Psalm 131. Psalm 131, which is one of these scriptures that has just passed me by. And it's good when so much still to discover in the Bible in our growing years. Psalm 131, verses 1 to 2, says, my heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And there's this great picture of what it is ultimately to be a Christian, is that we are children of God, loved by our Father. Children of God, loved by our Father in such a way that the psalmist says that I have stilled and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. So the parental love that a child has from a good parent is such that when they are weaned in a way that is appropriate to their need and their desire to grow. So it's right for a baby to be given milk because that's what the baby needs. The baby needs the comfort of the mother and the father. And it's right for a toddler to have milk and some extra food. But it's not entirely right that you get a seven-year-old who just always has milk. But there needs to be an appropriate weaning in order that that child develops into adulthood. And so what we find in prayer is, as we are still, is that we are weaned by God the Father, who wants to nourish us like no other, who wants to fill us afresh with his Spirit. And so when we come in prayer, we are satisfied in him like no other. If you have a child or you have a niece or nephew or have seen grandchildren, when they are fed milk and they're about 9 months old and they've had enough, they just kind of go, and they just look sozzled, but in a good way. They just look utterly content on what they've just been fed. And God's desire for you and me is not, it really is not that we find our food elsewhere. He wants us to be satisfied and nourished by the love of the Father. So ultimately, your spouse will not give you the love and approval that you seek. Ultimately, your children will not give you the love and the approval and quietness of soul that you seek. Your boyfriend and girlfriend will not give you that nourishment that you seek, ultimately. Neither will your work, neither will school or college or university, neither will your friendships. The only way that you and I will be fully nourished and grow is when we still our soul in such a way that we receive the love of the Father and are weaned by him, knowing his love. Don't you want that? Isn't that ultimately what you're seeking? It's what I'm seeking. I become distracted by other things that do not bring that fulfillment. And that is why we need to find a place where we get the right perspective day by day that I am living for your kingdom come, your will be done. So that we surrender ourselves to the goodness of the Father, who like no other will fill us with the love that we've been searching for from day one of our lives. And he will satisfy you like no other. Like no other. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray that you would help us in our longing to be loved, to belong, to be satisfied, to be like the psalmist who says that he's weaned to a point of contentment and stillness. And so might we desire to pray, not just because it's something that Christians do, but that we will relate to you in such a way that you grow us and enable us to become more like Jesus. And so may we desire this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.